This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
WEEI. Be safe, be happy.
Here's your host, Scott Cordici and Nick Coit.
Happy birthday.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Cordici and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 FM, WEEI. Scott Cordici, Nick Coit with you. Although we are not together this morning, Nick Coit is up in our Warwick, Rhode Island studio, and I'm down here in Deerfield Beach, Florida. Good morning, Coity. How are you?
Listen to how relaxed he sounds, Joe. You sound so relaxed down there, Scott. How is it? How's the weather?
Great. I'm actually doing my show from bed right now.
Oh,
I set
don't
up the radio
equipment
bedside. Like, I'm sitting in bed with my laptop on my lap here and the TV on. So this is kind of nice.
I could get used
to this every Saturday
That's
morning.
Nice. Yeah,
living
really,
a good life down there.
Really awesome. Oh, man. Well, you got yourself an interesting game down there this week, my friend.
Really? Is it going to be interesting? I hope that I'm being dead serious.
Yeah.
I hope that it is. Because, you know, when you spend money for tickets to an NFL game, you want to be entertained. And after what I saw from the Dolphins last week against the Ravens, I know the Patriots traditionally have struggled down in Miami. And you know, Belichick has a losing record against the Dolphins here in Miami since taking over in 2000. But I got to tell you something. I mean, that Miami team looked dreadful last week.
Horrible.
I would be surprised if we have a game tomorrow. I expect the Patriots to win. And I expect him to win by 2-3 touchdowns. To me, the only question is you know, Belichick the type of guy that's not going to try to run it up against one of his former employees and Brian Flores? I don't know the answer to that, but I would be shocked if the Patriots not only didn't win, but win comfortably here tomorrow.
This is an interesting line, too, if you're betting on this game, because last time I checked, I think it was minus 19.5, and that to me is like... You know, it's tough to say whether or not they're going to win by 3 touchdowns in Miami because the weird things happen in Miami. Yep. It is Miami, but you're right. This team looks so bad. And, yeah, but it is. So I said interesting game, Scott. I didn't say good game. I said interesting game. And obviously the interest is surrounding the guy that now is wearing number 17 for the Patriots. And a guy that we talked about on the show.
Not number one, I'm confused here by this number 117 because I've seen both here on the news during the week.
He started with number one on Wednesday when they got him out there initially, and then the last 2 days he's at 17. So they just hadn't. I don't think they had really issued him a number yet. So that looks like what his number's going to be.
Okay.
Yeah, because when we got the roster on Wednesday too, he was listed, but he didn't actually have a number on that roster. Now he's 17. So,
okay.
And I think Mike Reese said it was his dad's number when his dad played in the Arena Football League.
Okay.
So that's how he landed on that number. But
you just answered my next question.
Yeah, there you go.
To know if there is a significance to it. Obviously, Ben Watson has number 84, which is funny because Watson, when he was drafted by the Patriots and played for the Patriots, was 84. But in his next two stops, he wore the number 82. And when he re-signed with the Patriots, he decided he was going to go back to 84.
Yeah, and I think at this point, you know, it had been handed out. And so, you know, I think they just decided that, you know, Antonio Brown needed to pick a number, and he did. So there you go.
Is he going to play tomorrow? That's the big question.
Yeah,
I know the NFL decided to not put him on the commissioner's exempt list, so he is eligible to play. And I know there's been some speculation. Will the Patriots play him tomorrow here in Miami?
Yeah, he is. He's going to play. I'm telling you right now, he's going to play. And for all the talking heads or whatever that are out there that are saying, well, the Patriots should take it upon themselves and sit him, they're not going to do that. They invested in this guy. They signed this guy. They signed and they've gotten him on the practice field. He's practiced all week. They're obviously trying to use him as a part of the game plan. Whether it's, you know, a limited amount of snaps, whether it's, you know, a few different packages that they've sort of created so that they can get him the football, he's going to play. That's it. He's going to play. It is what it is. And to think that the Patriots, there's a lot of talking heads out there, you know, think what you want about the situation and what has happened here and transpired this week with the lawsuit. But to think that the Patriots are sort of like, well, they're going to take a, you know, quote unquote moral high ground and sit him until, you know, something is decided or whatever. The Patriots aren't, they're not investigating anything. They're not, that's not their job. They signed this guy. They gave him the money to come and play football for them. And so he's not on, there's no suspension. There's no, you know, consequences. There's no anything like that. So he's going to play. Period. That is what it is. And like I said, think what you want about it, but he's going to play.
So, Nick, what's interesting to me about the Antonio Brown case is this. I think we can all agree, all right? Let's kind of use common sense here to go through this. I think we can all agree that sexual assault is wrong. It's awful. And anybody that is guilty of sexual assault should be punished accordingly. Can we agree with that?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
We also live in a country where presumably one is innocent until proven guilty. I think that dynamic has changed a little bit in recent years, particularly with social media and everybody having an opinion. There's almost a presumption of guilt nowadays when allegations are thrown out there as opposed to innocence. But theoretically, our legal system is you're presumed innocent until proven guilty.
But the court of public opinion is obviously, like you said, it's different.
It's become so much stronger with social media, right?
Sure.
Everybody has an opinion. The court of public opinion has become so much stronger in the last decade to two.
Yep.
But the fact of the matter is there's a few things at play here that I think the reason this is playing out the way that it is, at least right now, is for a couple of reasons. And I might be wrong here. You tell me if I'm wrong. I think a lot of people and a lot of talking heads, when I watched this story unfold earlier in the week, the talking heads on ESPN were convinced that he was going to be placed on the commissioner's exempt list, or at least should be, by Roger Goodell. And I say talking heads, I'm talking about the Stephen A. Smiths of the world, right? I was watching on my iPad on my flight down here to Florida Wednesday, everybody who had an opinion on this. And that seemed to be the consensus at the time. This, you know, he's got to be placed on the commissioner's exempt list, blah, blah, blah. And at the time, I remember thinking, well, hold on for a second. And they were comparing it to the Adrian Peterson case and other cases where, you know, guys have been put on the commissioner's exempt list. Ray Rice, I think, would be another example. And I think there's two major differences here between Antonio Brown's case and maybe those cases we're talking about. Okay, first and foremost, Antonio Brown has not been charged criminally, right? This is a civil case, if I understand correctly.
Exactly, yep.
Okay, so I think that's a big thing that we need to understand. Right now, this is not a criminal case. This is a civil case. Number two, I think in the case of both Adrian Peterson and Ray Rice, there was tangible evidence that a crime did take place. With Ray Rice, you had the video of him punching his fiance in the elevator, and with Adrian Peterson, we had the pictures of the son who had been whipped by Adrian Peterson, correct?
Yes.
So I think those are the two major differences. You know, we're talking about, you know, criminal cases, although I'm not sure if Peterson ever was charged criminally. Maybe he wasn't.
I don't think he was. I don't think he was.
But you had that tangible evidence, right?
Well, it was all about criminal. These were criminal cases.
Right. But right now, what you have is a he said, she said, right? Because Antonio Brown is proclaiming his innocence, and this woman is saying, no, this happened. I was sexually assaulted by Antonio Brown. So I think that's why, ultimately, Goodell handled it the way that he did and did not place him on the commissioner's exempt list. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. No, this would be unprecedented if he was placed on the commissioner's exempt list for a civil lawsuit. It would be unprecedented because you can't really think of a comparison. I don't think there is one for a guy being placed on the list for, you know, the civil lawsuit. And I think this is something to point out, too, because I'm not going to act like I'm a lawyer. neither of us are attorneys here, but with cases like this, It is not uncommon for, you know, a victim to go out and file, you know, this a civil lawsuit instead of criminal, right? Because maybe the victim didn't want to come forward before. Maybe that's why there's no tangible evidence, you know. And so it's not uncommon for that to happen. So I think people have kind of misconstrued that. Well, it's civil, so there's nothing there. It's like, no, not necessarily.
No, that's
you know,
true.
Yeah, right, exactly. And especially with the lawsuit that's been filed, there's some things in there that make you think, okay, well, you know, there's a case here with the text message that he sent to her about his one of his actions here, one of the, you know, the claims of sexual assault. And, you know, there's emails that went back and forth, whatever. And, you know, so there are things in there that they filed in a court that they don't look good. But at the same time, you know, what's been fishy here to me, Scott, is the timing. And that's why, you know, and I'm not trying to downplay any of the allegations here, and they should be taken seriously, and that's why the league is going to talk to her and talk to him, and that's why this is going to be a case that's going to, you know, it's going to be handled here, and it's going to go back and forth. But the fact that it comes out now, and especially the night before he steps onto the field for his first practice with the Patriots, did the Patriots know this was coming? And that was another question this week. And I say no. Why would they trade Demaryius Thomas on Tuesday to the Jets if they knew something was coming? Why would they do that? They wouldn't. Because they would know, okay, well, there's a possibility that something's along the way. Why would they even sign Antonio Brown if they thought something like this was going to come out that quickly?
I don't think they would have.
No. If it was going to happen that quickly. And that's why Drew Rosenhaus was on SportsCenter this week, and he... You know, he said that we knew, Antonio and I knew that at some point this could come up. And I'm sure this was something that was sort of hanging over their heads that, you know, it could come out at any time. They didn't know when it might pop up or whatnot. Did they think it was happening Tuesday after they signed him with the Patriots on Saturday? No. No way. That's not, no way.
No.
I just don't believe that. I don't believe that. And the way the Patriots handled their business, I don't believe that. So for him to not be placed on the list, you know, I the NFL needs to look more into this. They do. And then they can make a determination and, you know, make a decision. But even then, when they talk to her, when they talk to him, you know, I wonder how much of an effect that's going to have on a decision to possibly place him on the list. I don't know if they're going to, Scott, because like you said, there's no criminal charges here. You know, this is a civil lawsuit. And so until it gets to, you know, that next step, maybe criminal charges come. I don't know. But I don't think it's going to happen. And that's why I think he's going to play on Sunday. And he may be playing here for the foreseeable future for the Pats.
Well, I think if they uncover some strong evidence that says he did do this, I think he could be placed on that list or suspended or what have you. But I think until that time, I think that's why he's being allowed to suit up for the Patriots. That's my own opinion.
Well, and I don't think there's any...
Even in a civil lawsuit, if there's enough evidence that comes out that leads you to believe that he is guilty of committing sexual assault, I think actions will be taken against this guy.
Oh, yeah. But I don't think there's any smoking gun here. You know, that's the thing. I don't...
Well, right now, there's not. Like, you mentioned right. The text, and I suppose that would be the closest thing. But unlike, like I said, the Ray Rice and the Adrian Peterson situation, you had either pictorial evidence or you had video evidence of wrongdoing there. And that is lacking in this particular case, at least at the moment. You know, and you know, look, this is a very, you know, difficult subject to talk about,
it
too,
is.
Because you have to be very understanding to victims of sexual assault and rape because, you know, people say, well, you know, she's just in it for the money. Well, no, not necessarily. First of all, many, many times, rape victims and victims of sexual assault, they're afraid to come forward right away, okay? And that's why many of them wait. Okay, I'm not saying there aren't instances where people are trying to get some money out of someone in cases like this. But, you know, you have to be understanding many times they don't come forward. You know, in her particular case, you know, it doesn't sound like, you know, she came forward right away, right? So there wouldn't be any video evidence of her, you know, maybe being physically assaulted by him. But, you know, if you believe some of her allegations, and indeed they are proven to be true, even in a civil case, this guy's going to pay the punishment. You know, he's gonna have to, you know, pay for his crime. But I like I said, I'm curious to see if he plays tomorrow. I kind of agree with you, Nick. I think he will play. I think in the absence of real hard evidence that, you know, says unequivocally he did this, I think he's going to be allowed to play, and I think he will play for the Patriots.
Yeah, I agree with you. And
did you see his little video he posted?
Oh, yeah. It was Instagram Live.
Media
oh, yeah.
I guess he's working out with Alex Guerrero.
Well, 17,000 people saw it live at the time. That he obviously made that clear. And that sort of plays into what, you know, what else I was going to ask you this morning, Scott, which was, you know, because we haven't talked since we were on last Saturday morning, and we were talking about Antonio Brown with the Raiders. And after that show, a couple hours later, he gets released by the Raiders. And then a few hours after that, he signs with the Patriots. And
I said last week at this time, I didn't want him.
No, and
I didn't want him.
Right.
I didn't want all the baggage for as talented as he is, and I'm not going to go back on that. I thought the Patriots could have gotten along just fine without adding him. I understand why they did, because for them, I think it's a low-risk, potential, high-reward situation. Because, let's face it here, in my opinion, Antonio Brown needs the New England Patriots a hell of a lot more than the New England Patriots need Antonio Brown. And that's why the Patriots can afford to take shots on guys like this sometimes, because if he does act like a jackass or these allegations turn out to be true, they can just cut him and say, see you later. You know what, pal? Or if he acts like he did in Oakland, they can just walk away. Now, I was surprised they gave him as much guaranteed money as they did in this one-year deal. But I still think he needs the Patriots a hell of a lot more than the Patriots need him.
Oh, for sure. And the question I kept asking you last week when we were talking about this was, does he want to play football? Because with Oakland and all the antics and everything like that, which was obviously on a much lower scale compared to, you know, what has come out this week, I said, does he want to play football? What is this guy's deal? Because of all the helmet stuff and the feet stuff and everything that he did. And it turns out I think he does want to play football. I think it's just he didn't want to play football for the Oakland Raiders. And with all the stuff that he did off the field to get himself released and all that, that's not a good look. But yeah, I think he got traded there. He got traded there, and it's not a place that he looked at and said, I want to play here. And so that's why he did that. And I'm with you, Scott.
I think he did want to play there. I think what happened was, I think when they told him that they were yanking all of his guarantees, that was the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. So if you recall, last week at this time, we were talking about, or maybe just over a week ago.
It was the video.
He made a tearful apology in front of his Raider teammates with the two captains by his side.
Yep.
Right? Mm. And so that was his mea culpa. That was also him trying to make sure that he was going to get paid as an Oakland Raider. And I think he believed that at the time, okay, everything's been taken care of. Full steam ahead. I'm going to be in uniform Monday night in the season opener for the Raiders. Everything's good. Well, the day after he did that, apparently the Raiders, I don't know if they sent him a letter or they made it clear to him, yeah, you're going to play for us in week one, but just so you know, all your guarantees, we've taken them away from you now.
Yeah.
And when he heard that, that's like, he said, that's it. I'm out of here. And that's when he shot his way out of town, so to speak.
Yeah. It was the Instagram post came out that morning, I believe, and the video had come out last Friday night of him and the phone conversation with John Gruden. And yeah, you're right. I think that's when he asked for the release and whatnot. But still, even then, though, Scott, like the helmet stuff and the feet stuff and all the stuff that he did, was it just because he's a clown? Like, I don't know. Like, because it just, again, the question I kept asking was, does he want to play football? You know, and I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure even before the guaranteed and everything went down with the Raiders. You know, and that's why I said at the time, like, do they really need do they need this guy? And they don't. They obviously don't need this guy. And so to bring him in, it's just, it's interesting to me that the Patriots would bring him into this situation. I don't know. Because they have what they have. And obviously you go out and you play the Steelers and you beat them 33-3 and the offense just clicks. I mean, they looked efficient.
And, you know, Josh Gordon back too. That's the other thing too that surprised me by that the fact that they took him. Because, you know, Nick, we were talking at the beginning of camp when Julian Edelman was hurt, right? That and we did not think Josh Gordon was coming back. We were talking about how thin and how weak the Patriots wide receiving core is. And now you can argue it is by far the best in the National Football League. So it goes from an absolute weak spot to the best wide receiving core in the National Football League.
Right.
Go figure.
And obviously that's, they feel like a talent like Antonio Brown, and this is why they're bringing him in, is you know, it makes your team that much better, and you already may be the best in the NFL. And then you add Antonio Brown. Like, that's why they're okay with this. And you know, I know we got to go to our first break here, but one of the things I want to talk about is the talking heads and the national talk about the whole, you know, the Patriot Way thing in Foxborough. And to me, Scott, the Patriot Way went out the window a long time ago. And I think as Patriots fans, if you think that the Patriots, if you're still standing on 2 feet saying that the Patriots do things the moral way or whatever, you don't have much of an argument. You don't. And, you know, call it a criticism, but also call it just a reality. The Patriot Way thing, to me, it's not about, like, doing things the right way and the moral way or whatnot, you know, in terms of perception, I guess. It's just more about, you know, a culture inside the locker room and doing things the way that the team wants to do them on the field in the football operation. But we can get into that, too, you know, after our first break here.
All right, so let's throw out the phone numbers if you want to join us this morning. 401-737-1287, the phone number. That's 401-737-1287. And you can also send us your text this morning. The text line is open as well at 37937. Do you think Antonio Brown should play tomorrow for the Patriots? Do you think that the Patriots should not play him? Or you want to just talk about the Patriots, what you saw in week one? I want to get into that in my opinion on what we witnessed against the Steelers on Sunday night in the Patriots opener on the other side as well. Again, give us a call, 401-737-1287, the phone number.
Our phone lines are open.
And Coit. Thank you much, very much, Bill Belichick. Kordishian and Coit coming back your way on WEEI.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.